Today, it's found in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to start in verses 14 through 21. Matthew 14, 14 through 21. It says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food.' But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children."
You know, I really don't like this story. The reason why I don't like this story is because there are certain things that I don't understand in this story. My first question came from the end part of the story. It says, "So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained." Why were they left over? God knows exactly what we need and or how much we need, no more or no less. When I started working, I needed a car. So I prayed for a car and I got one. But it was not a Mercedes-Benz. It was a small, used one with some big dents here and there. And it had a 1,000cc engine, which means very weak. But that's exactly what I needed. God gives us exactly what we need. Then why were there leftover in this story? I tried to find out some kind of a message or a lesson from this fact. But there are no good answers that I could find. In fact, when they had a similar experience later, the disciples forgot to take the leftover bread with them. So that they started fighting against each other, saying, "You forgot. No, you forgot." It seemed like Jesus didn't care about the leftover bread. So then I started thinking that there must be some kind of human element involved with this miracle of feeding 5,000. By the way, I said 5,000. It's a 5,000 men. So at least 10,000 people are there, including women and children. And then the purpose of them coming to see Jesus was healing. So then I should say like 5,000 patients, and others are their family members or friends. Anyway, 10,000 people are there. Now, next thing that I don't understand is that all 4 Gospels have this story. Well, actually nothing wrong with that. Rather, it tells us that this incident was so either impressive or so important for them. But personally, this story wasn't so much impressive to me. Rather, my concern is why John had to write this story. When John wrote this version of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the other three gospels had been written at least 30 years before that. And all those Christian churches had, John's time, not only the copies of the three gospels, but also the copies of the Acts and other letters in today's New Testament, except John's, his own writings. John had to write this version, his version of the gospel, because other writers were missing some important incidents to tell, or messages to tell in their writings. And that is why the gospel of John is so unique among them. So then, why did he have to write the same story, feeding of 10,000? Why is it so important so that even John had to write? By the way, who had the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish originally? Oh yeah, a little boy. How do we know that? It didn't say in Matthew. But we know a little boy had his sack lunch because John wrote it saying, actually Andrew said to Jesus, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Now, I see that this is why John had to write the same story. He's telling us that it is so important that there was a little boy who had the food first. But then, why is it so important in this story? So here's the third thing that I don't understand, which is, why did only this boy have a sack lunch among 10,000? And then I noticed that my question was funny, because it doesn't say anywhere in the 4 Gospels that only this little boy had a sack lunch. It is so strange to think or imagine that there were about 10,000 people there, and only one little boy among them brought sack lunch. Well, every year we have our church camp meeting at the Salvation Army campground. They have a wonderful cafeteria which can provide us the meals while we are there, so that nobody take food to there. Am I right? Every year, my son buys a lot of food and beverages to take with him there. So I have to tell him, "Luke, they have a cafeteria and mom has already paid for your meals." Then he says, with a puzzled face, "It's a camping, Dad." Okay? Imagine that there is a camp meeting with Jesus, and seems like many people are going to the place where Jesus is going to be. But we don't know exactly where it will be. Most likely, it's going to be just outside of the town called Bethsaida, which is the northern tip of shore of the Lake Galilee. And Jesus is arriving there by boat with his disciples. So we want to be there before Jesus gets there. We know there are 2 or 3 7-Elevens and some supermarkets in the town and some villages around there. But we know there is no cafeterias or restaurants at the campground. Can you imagine that only one little boy had his sack lunch there among us? I am 100% sure that many other people among the 10,000 had food with them. But here's the problem in the situation. Imagine again. There are 10 strangers, and you are among them. Everyone is getting hungry. And so you want to open up your sack lunch to eat, but now you noticed that 2 out of 10 strangers didn't bring their sack lunches. Now what would you do? Well, actually, there's no problem for us Hawaiian residents. We would share our food with them, saying, this is ohana, with an aloha spirit. We share, no problem. But if the number of the strangers who didn't bring food increases from 2 to 3, 4, or 5, then you would start thinking differently. Well, at least I would think this way. Now, I don't have enough food to share with others. And I don't want to open up and eat my lunch in front of them. The ones who didn't bring food should go to some convenience store to buy their own food. Then I can open up my sack lunch to eat. This is my food anyway. Then the one who didn't bring food with him would think, well, I'm hungry, but if I leave here now to a supermarket, I lose my turn to see my physician, Jesus. I strongly believe that this was the actual situation at that time in this incident. And I believe that the disciples had noticed the problem in the same way. Or they were getting tired and hungry by themselves. So that they suggested Jesus to close his clinic for the day. So that they could rest. Or so that some of the people can go and buy food for themselves without worrying about losing their turns, while the others can freely open up their sack lunch to eat. If the disciples knew the situation very well, then I am sure that Jesus should have known much better. But here's a boy who comes to Jesus and his disciples with his food to offer to them. Jesus, smiling and knowing how much food they have among the 10,000 and how the people are thinking about the food, commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, and he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. He started this miracle of multiplying the food. Then I believe the people who had food with them were impressed very much by the work of Jesus and the little boy's action. And they have been changed from selfishness to unselfishness, from hiding attitude to sharing attitude. They started adding their food to them. Ah, that's why they were left over. But I am not so clear yet. Why did this boy thought giving his food to the people? Did he know what Jesus was going to do? Did he know Jesus would do this miracle? Or did he know the people would share their food by giving up their food? Or his food? No, I don't think so. I think the boy just thought giving his food to Jesus and his disciples. But why? I found a hint for the answer from the beginning of the next story. It goes like this. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Why was he alone? He must be tired and or needed to pray, of course. But why did he have to send his disciples away also? Even at the Garden of Gethsemane, a night before his crucifixion, he took three disciples with him to the place of the prayer. Why was he alone this time? Then I found similar words at the beginning of a story before. That's 14:13 in the book of Matthew. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. Well, actually, with the disciples. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Then comes to the verse 14, our scripture reading this morning. He wanted to be alone from the beginning of this story. But then the people didn't let him be alone. So after hearing the patience among the 10,000, finally, he set himself to be alone. Again, why did he want to be alone by himself? And then it says, when Jesus heard it, what did he hear? What kind of news was it so that Jesus started hoping to be alone by himself? A story before this goes like this. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. Then his disciples, well, of course, John's disciples, came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. When the disciples of John the Baptist told Jesus about their martyred Lord, they must have wanted Jesus to do the revenge. But how would you think? When you lost your loved one or one of your good friends, what would you like to do first? You want to be alone, don't you? I lost my roommate when I was in my college, when I was 21 years old, almost ready to graduate. He had a coronary problem that nobody knew. He passed away suddenly. I was with him in the same class from the high school. 7 years, we played together, We studied together, not much study, but you know, we were together all the time, We talked about our future and so forth. And then suddenly, he passed away. That's my roommate. I wanted to be alone first to accept that reality. Leave me alone. Probably Jesus was thinking that way. In different words, probably. Give me time to be alone by myself. I am sure that Jesus wanted to be alone when he lost his only co-worker for the gospel in his time on this earth. John was the only human being and his friend who had known for what Jesus Christ came to this earth. Jesus knew the destiny of John